So the challenge that we face is to find a way of living within this culture and turning it toward the Christmas message. From my point of view, the shopping started out probably quite well intentioned. So there's two aspects to that, I think, in my experience anyway. First of all is buying prezzies, and secondly is buying food and drink. And the prezzies actually started out with a very strong theological rationale, reason for being, and it was a good one, and that was to get in tune with what it is to give and to receive. It can be quite hard to receive, and it can be quite beautiful to receive, it can be quite hard to give, it can be quite beautiful to give. And that whole invitation to get in touch with giving and receiving is a way of honouring God's gift to us in the gift of Jesus Christ, in the gift of this story, in the gift of this salvation and redemption and hope. So Christmas joy comes from the hope, and that hope is a gift. And by giving gifts to one another, we are supposed to, or we have the opportunity to, get in touch with that theology. But of course, it ends up becoming, oh, there's this person, there's this list, and they spent 20 quid on me, so I should spend 25 on them. And then it all escalates, and you're not in touch with hope as a gift, or the parts of your soul that might find it difficult to receive, and so trying to crack them open and see what you're given and feel it. Those aspects of it go out the window as we just get a bit frenzied. And we have to, I think, resist the commercialism. We can keep the cultural norm of buying something to give as a gift. Few of us don't have time to make all our gifts, so the ability to go to the shop and buy something and choose something and embed that with our thought is how we can use this culture. But if it becomes excessive, then it's working against the interests. And then the other side, the food, the other thing we might be buying. Feasting is a glorious thing. It's a sign of God's abundance to us and of our enjoyment of that. God wants us to take joy in that. I would firmly believe that. And we are therefore invited to give thanks. This abundance elicits great gratitude. It just sort of pulls this out of you when you have a feast. But feasts are meant to be odd occasions and not a proliferation of goods or, again, excessiveness for the sake of it. And it's certainly got a period. It starts on the Christmas Eve night and it ends on the Epiphany. There are 12 days to this feasting season. And then it ends, and we have to go back to not fast necessarily or difficulty, but just normalcy, and a normalcy which is not excessive and that's very careful.
It's also, though, a very stressful time of the year, because there is a sense that people have to live up to this picture perfect ideal. And for some reason, that tends to bring out stress. You get more suicides, you get more arguments, you get more depression, you get more of everything around Christmas. I suppose maybe because people, if something's been troubling them all year, they really feel that loss then at Christmas, or they feel that thing missing in their life, or they feel more acutely that their life doesn't match the picture postcard ideal that they've been fed or that they've been told they can have.
I think you're dead right that Christmas is an incredibly difficult time for many of us. And the more people say, oh, isn't it fantastic? Isn't it lovely? Are you ready for Santa? The more difficult that then makes it for those who aren't living the picture. And who, in fairness now, who is living the picture of perfect Christmas? You might be lucky enough to have it for a few years, but what is a picture of perfect Christmas? We just shouldn't allow ourselves to be led by commercialism. So much of it is advertising driven. It's capitalist at getting us to see ourselves as consumers and to see consuming as some sort of good in itself or something that will bring us happiness. And I think the Christian goal is to say simply no, to name that for what it is, which is corrupting the invitation at Christmas time is not to have to be picture perfect. It has nothing to do with that. And I think that's why the period of Advent is so important for preparing for Christmas, because it allows you to be honest about where you're at. And this is forgotten. You know, we prepare for Christmas sometimes by just thinking about Christmas and what we need to have in, or who we need to invite or buy, or how we're going to dress. And actually, the way to prepare for Christmas is given to us as this four-week season of going deeply inwards, of acknowledging our longings, of seeing how our longings are longings for God, and then leaving that with God and asking for... It's like Operation Transformation. It doesn't come in January spiritually. It comes in Advent. If you do the work of Advent. And some churches have cottoned onto this in new ways, in culturally appropriate ways. And one example might be liturgies, which you see around the place, called Blue Christmas liturgies. And they happen in Advent, and they're for people who are grieving. Others are called, and they're very similar. You know, bereavement groups will often have a gathering, a Bible study, a mass, depending on the denomination, in Advent. And this is so that people are not alone in their loneliness or bereavement or sorrow. First of all, they're not alone in it. Secondly, they are affirmed in bringing that to the Christian community, to church. And then thirdly, they're helped and guided in living with that, in seeing the possibility of grace in that, if that is a possibility, and of just living with that hurt and longing and saying that is part of Advent. That's what Christ comes to be among, to live among, to offer grace in the midst of. So I do think that if we did Advent better, we might both give us a more realistic message about Christmas to the people you mentioned, and we might also help orient ourselves a bit more appropriately toward Christmas itself.
So you think it starts at Advent, and you're right in a sense in that Advent doesn't really become the focus. Christmas becomes the focus. People almost jump over Advent or forget about Advent. It doesn't really become the focus of this time of the year.
No. I wouldn't want to be a killjoy, you know, who says, well, you can't sing Christmas carols before Christmas Day, or you mustn't put up the tree until Christmas Eve. You know, I'm not making any of those prescriptions, but I would like to, or I find it helpful to remember that for most of Christian history, that was the case. There are Advent carols, and that many of them are beautiful, and the imagery of waiting flowering and roses and listening and of God's presence in this dark time of like going into a shell. The imagery in Advent carols is so helpful for this dark, depressed, difficult, lonely, intensified in our grieving time of year. And other Christian practices that have been around for hundreds of years, like an Advent wreath in the home or putting some greening in the home, candle lighting, particular foods, laying off particular foods. It's no longer officially a fast season in the Catholic Church, but it was for many years. And I know many people, you know, don't lay off drink, or it's a holding back a bit is a on your consumption, is also a practice like this practices of candle lighting or Advent carol singing, which are here to remind us this is a season in and of itself. And it puts, yes, it's a season of preparation for Christmas, but it's a very different sort of preparation than spending night after night on Grafton Street or whatever it might be.